Lauren, pouring, new whip, foreign. Jennifer, Lauren, tram to the morning. World class hustlers, we done kicked the doors in. Numbers on Samson, I'm feeling all important. You know it's time to party, I pull up in that Audi. My jewelry always rocky when I step out with that shawty. You can holla. And my itty bitty model says she moved from Colorado. Used to strip but now she model. She drinking that Moscato. I'ma pop a couple bottles, but if homie act up, I'ma pop a couple hollows. I'm a player, Chicago, I'm the mayor. You might see me out in Vegas, throwing chips up in the air. Or maybe out in Boston, flossing like I don't care. I got people over here, I got people over there. So, holler. When you see a nigga stuntin', I reside on the road, but my heart is in a hundred, and I'm running with some creatures that be running with them heaters that'll rearrange your features. How you singing like Anita? So, holler and shake a nigga head. Baby girl, do your dance. You rockin' with your man. Hey, Doris, bottles open. Hey, melt up everything I'm wanting. Hey, no whip about that bitch open. In Cabo, Safari in Morocco, stuff in a 100 bags in that Murcielago. I'm rocking with my shirt off, I spray the crowd with Smirnoff. I see them haters hating, I gotta wipe the dirt off. So holla. I be all around the country, screaming growl growl. Your boy still hungry, got a spot down in Tennessee, crate full of Hennessy, case for my enemy, swag like a Kennedy. Oh, oh, now they feeling me. Rock Kim, Eric B, poet, and I know it, motherfuck, what you telling me? So, holla, I'm all about a dollar. Yo, girl, she like to swallow. Rendezvous in the Ramada. Talk towers, couple hours, white girl sniffing powder. The flow is getting doper, the jury getting louder. So, holla, every time I'm in your town. When you see that core fuck, then you know it's going down.
If you hear me, if you feel me, go to touch. Buy my paper, fuck your haters, that's for whatever it's worth. Kygo, fast and furious, about to make a film. Oh, it's gon' style your bitch's titties with my fingers in her trim. Music turned up to the max, no love left in her house. She a queen, all in your dream, my tarot jizz right when she pops. If she swallow, she can follow. Country boy from Chicago, from it's lucid, work for peanuts. You can call me Ricky Ricardo. Plus we overseas and we touring. Street rap like they my children. All these niggas swear they the shit. I piss over them with my urine. Terrorize these hoes. My name should be Bin Laden. Got a loud pack of that strong. Keep it off in my bottom. You got problems where I got Nina. Post it off in my truths. When them stairs in your discussion, make them holler like some gyros. Me and BFM on business. My game ties well. Suspenders. We live life off of them women. Pull your main thing at your limit.
We got everything I'm wanting. Hey. No whip about that bitch for a rent. Hey. Doing numbers, now I'm feeling all important.
When you see me, just holler.
Bonsoir, Mr. Dem. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sunday, July 20th, 2014, and you're now listening to Playtime with Sandra Radio. I'm your hostess, Sandra London of livinggrind.com, broadcasting for you live from the sunny beaches of Southern California in connection with Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Digital Podcast, and Naked Girls Radio. The song you just heard at the top of the hour is called Holla by Babyface Monster featuring Rojas. And I will begin my marathon, as it were, part one at least. After one more song, I'm just getting everything in order, and actually I didn't have time to properly alphabetize them, but I believe I got most of the ones I'll be able to read this evening for you all. I will check if I go out of order, je m'excuse en avance. But in the meanwhile, I'll check out one more song, and then I will begin, probably starting with, did I get this right? Hold on. Annie and the Apple Bottom. I believe I'll read that first, but check out this song really fast. The call in number is 858-815-2333. Once again, 858-815-2333. Here is Broke for Free by Night Owl. Rising crescendo. They will redden in unison with each loving thwack from my fellow partner and thigh. We are a joint operation, compelled by the force of each digit in search of destiny, desire, and derision. Yet alone, I will propel inch by inch. I will immerse myself in this warm, welcome confinement, the borders sending electric jolts to build up and tease me with the prospect of the most wicked nirvana, a tight, warm, wet hearth to swallow me whole. At the brink, I will emerge victorious, at a standstill, if you will, but only momentarily. From this cusp of natural treasure, I will divulge my most glorious exposition of all, and slick streams of substance along the endless miles of flesh, defining my leader. The end. That was Annie and the F-Bottom, erotica number one for this evening. Check out this next song real quick, and I'll be right back with you with Autonomous Booty.
Right now, you think you got to give.
That was Drunken Hot Girls by Kanye West. And number two for the Slow Erotica, this is Sandra London Official, SLO, Slow Erotica, number two, is Autonomous 3, which was published on livinggrind.com on Tuesday, September 17th, 2013. Petra is beyond. She's striking gold on the dance floor, all oiled up. It started out as a gas. Alas, her drink slipped, modestly drenching her see-through night on the town gown while she held court in the Lux Lounge, way up high. Roman is amused, but tries to avoid making the sudden newfound pleasure known. Petra plays the fool, continuing her sway, her shimmy, her excitable thrusts, swings, and struts, leading the way, all atop 6-inch steel wheels. The damn thing just won't quit. No, really. Whose divine theory was made into a plan of action here, anyway? This endless procession of treadmill, as if this hot powerhouse needed any workout. Petra reels in Roman's furtive gaze and grins a mile wide. Oops, Petra mouths, as she slowly turns her VIP goblet onto its underbelly, painting her purposefully too small negligee with deep scarlet spirits. There will be whistles galore. Meanwhile, Roman and Petra alike are all wrapped up in her velvet. Petra widens her eyes. Oops, Roman mouths back, swallowing hard. Squirming in seductive falsetto, Petra makes a few pathetic attempts to dry off. The elements notwithstanding, the spirits make tiny teardrops at the mountaintops of her ridiculously erect nipples. Magic, Petra shouts over the circus absorbed within them. Puffy to perky, all in one go. Petra smiles, leaning in as Roman draws near, all the better. Bravo, ma belle, Roman croons. Petra runs the back of her hand, absentmindedly, over the front of Roman's pants. Petra pipes up, aha, voila. She feels good inside. A host draws near. Mademoiselle? Petra reaches out for Roman, cupping his ass cheek from behind. No, thank you, it's fine. We'll be going. My ride is here. Petra volunteers, winking at the staff. Enter Johnny Auto. There he is. I am Johnny's pet, Petra chuckles as Roman grips her hand tightly to keep up. Johnny is ajar. Party of 2.5, Johnny intimates with reserved discretion as the temporary chattel claim assignment. Where do we tell? Roman begins. Don't you worry, Petra rubs Roman's knee gingerly. Johnny's got everything under control. Petra is suddenly overwhelmed. Petra lays her head atop Roman's khakis, creating a very hard and humid situation. 3, 2, 1. Johnny has arrived. Roman stutters. Roman is a bit of a mess. A stowaway ejects smoothly from the door, proffering an assortment of complimentary tissue. Roman flusters about, moderately embarrassed. He looks to the east of himself. Wow, how did it know where I live? Roman continues to peer out of the window. Do you leave your light on? I can read, you know, Petra cautions gently. Oh, Roman sighs. Thanks? Roman bellows uncomfortably into the voice box, which separates the chattel from the operator. Much obliged, Johnny affirms solemnly. Now, where were we? Petra purrs distractedly, prodding her new favorite thing. 322, King's Court, Utopia, Swordston Bridge, recalls Johnny. Petra rolls her semi-permanent autumn green eyes. Johnny is at a full stop. Roman is released upon exit. Petra's dismount, however, is delayed. She pauses a moment, but all are silent. Ugh! Johnny! Petra squeals for precisely 20 seconds. Let me go! Roman looks on in suspended disbelief. You, my pet, have not arrived at your... Petra interjects. Fucking bullshit, Johnny! Petra gathers Roman's coat and lifts it up from her lap towards the auto light. Throwing it over her nipple-length chocolatey mane, she slips her hands into Roman's sleeves. You have changed, Johnny reports. Johnny is ajar. Standing momentarily akimbo on the sidewalk, Roman and Petra soon advance onwards towards Roman's high-rise. Looking back, Petra tugs her left boob ever so slightly while pointedly winking her right eye. I will put you in my pocket, Petra stands. The end. That was Autonomous Booty. And enjoy your next song, and I'll be right back. Next up is Bound to Be. But check out Copla de Veneno by Karina Bjor in the meanwhile.
Um copo de veneno pelo menos.
Down by the Lemianas. And, ooh, yeah, yes, okay. I will now do number three, Erotica number three, Bound to Be, which was, hey, where'd it go? I think I just lost it. Oh, no. It's a little difficult. Pardon. I just had it. Darn. How terrible. Okay, yes. In the meanwhile, check out, darn it, oh no, yeah, check out Dream Car. So sorry, I had it up and now it's gone. Let's see, or I could just go, darn it, here you go, Dream Car by Mark Angelo, and I'll be right back with you.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to chase your dreams.
Mark Angelo.
Tired of the slack and spare me your excuses. I don't wanna be found, I lose myself in this music. Had to take over the wheel, I prefer just cruising. Constantly moving, laughing, you and him.
The same ones that was laughing back then. Make it a priority now to acknowledge you as a friend. Crazy women claiming that we best friends. How? Never hung out for over a million seconds. Wow. Anyways, smash them, then pass them. Pow. A lot of people may claim king, but I'm the one who holds the crown. I don't go bragging around town, I'd rather not make a sound. I'm a hidden gem in the ground, surrounded by the best in the town. Or city, state, region, the deadly allegiance.
Raise your glasses high to the sky, yeah.
Let's make a toast. Let's make a toast. Let's make a toast. Motivated by those I'm around the most. Nowadays my dreams don't seem far. Man, this shit sound like it should be played out of my dream car. My dream car. Dreams don't seem far when chasing it with my dream car. Top back hovering over the competition. Sat under a ladder while writing in my composition. Some may say I'm different, fuck superstition. My intuition out with bad logic with ancient wisdom. Hop in my dream car and head to the Draco system. Plutonium interior, not from this ecosystem. Chrome wheels spinning like an exorcism. Overridden the law of gravity with my expedition. Nowadays my dreams don't seem far. Man, this shit sound like it should be played out of my dream car. My dream car. Dreams don't seem far when chasing it with my dream car.
Okay, that was Dream Car by Mark Angelo. His profile and more of his information is available on nakedgirlsradio.com, and you can also look him up on Twitter. I'll now do Bound to Be. I found it. Woohoo! Yes. All right. So Bound to Be was published on Wednesday, January 9th, 2013. I am free, albeit bound, but I'm not 6 feet underground. I can dance, but can't get down, because I'm all wrapped up in the cloud. I can speak, but ain't got no tongue, because only men can be well hung. I am here, but I'm not there. You'd see me better if you knew where. I must get going and come round to thee, because y'all done told me what I can't see. The end. That's Bound to Be. And for number four this evening, I will do Captured, which was originally, originally published July 13th-ish of 2011. Okay, Captured. You captured my gaze with your long brown hair. You captured my shot when I felt her stir within. She's throbbing for you now, my dear kitty. She is. She warms me. She wets me. She quivers for your cock. My tongue, well, it reminisces upon a delicious, savory, salty, sweet whisper of your lust. I swallow. But my eyes, even when you're out of sight, my eyes, they paint a picture whenever tension begins to build. In my bosom, in the dark, in my car, in my dreams, I see you fucking me like no motherfucking other. And you take that shit and you own it. It's yours. The end. That is captured. And that is on imsandralondon.com. If you'd like to have a go and gander at the lovely image that accompanies it. Yeah. So let me give you one more song, or a song, and then I will do I'll do Daniel and the Third Leg and Dusty and the Nooner. Those are on deck up next. Croisière by Juanitos, and I'll now do number 5, Daniel and the Third Leg. And this was published both on my website, livinggrind.com, as well as everynighterotica.com. And I'll start now. As soon as my dog sits down, okay, sit down, boo-boo. He's on my lap, sorry. Okay. Wake the fuck up, D-Man. Yo. What the fuck? Daniel grumbles. It is somewhere around 2 in the morning, and Daniel had only just made it to sleep. He is home alone and looking forward to welcoming a brand new day as a man. It is officially his 18th birthday. He had not anticipated any sort of rude awakening. He slipped into nice, peaceful slumber shortly after rubbing one out, watching women's tennis on the sports channel. He had been watching Katya, some young 20-something Russian femme fatale, grunting, glistening, and working her hot little tail off as she volleyed back and forth during some otherwise faceless tennis match. Katya's shrieks, sighs, and wiggles were etched, at least semi-permanently, in the recesses of Daniel's wonderful playground he calls the brain. And now this. Daniel recognizes his best friend's voice immediately, but still is not quite sure why Chuck is knocking and yelling so violently outside of his window. What time is it anyway? And what brand of shenanigans is Chuck up to now? And why do I always have to be the first to know? You need a fucking hobby, man. I just got to sleep. Can't you just come back tomorrow? Dan croaks, barely audible over the loud rustling of feet. More than one set of feet, in fact, beneath his bedroom window. What? You didn't even know, man. We're here to rescue you. Say what? Rescue me from what? From your own self. Now get up and throw on some clothes. I got some friends down here who want to meet the birthday boy, Chuck yells out, still not bothering to think of who might be overhearing his booming voice in the dead of the night. All right, man. All right, but hold on. Now, who the fuck is we? Go to the front door like a normal human being, would ya? Dan retorts weakly, grabbing his sweats off of his dresser. Dan heads to the front door of his parents' house, who were luckily away for most of the weekend. Supposedly, anyways. He wasn't so sure they wouldn't surprise him with an early arrival of their own. As he throws open the door, he sees Chuck, a.k.a. the Chester, with two very attractive ladies in tow. Oh, this is what you meant by we, Dan says slowly, suddenly feeling very embarrassed in his holy sweats, which had truly seen better days, and his bare chest, which had only recently begun to differentiate him from that of a prepubescent. Hi, he begins again. Aloha, says the tan, leggy brunette as she glides past him and into the foyer. Don't be rude. Let these ladies come in. And quickly, it's cold. As you can see, they don't have all that much on, bro. Chuck grins as he punches Dan playfully in the shoulder. The blonde enters just behind Chuck and offers a shy smile at Dan. Happy birthday, Danny, she says, in a voice barely above a whisper. Dan, Chuck, and the two mystery ladies head upstairs to Dan's room silently as he leads the way. This is awkward, he muses silently, as he wonders how he might shield any spontaneous display of arousal incited by these potent creatures of the night. He curses the fact that his sweats are so painfully thin. It's pretty late, and you didn't even tell me you were going to just show up at my door all unannounced and shit. I'm not really in the mood to drive right now. I already put my new Z4 away in the garage, and we are not going in your busted-ass car. Dan rants, mumbling in Chuck's direction. He continues on, flustered. The party's later on tonight, remember? Not now. Hence, the house being so quiet, dumbass. My girl isn't even back in town yet. Dan trails off, not wanting to provide too much detail about Christine, his childhood sweetheart, who he was not all that sure about these days. Whatever, dude, fuck her. Do you really care about Christine? Really? It's your birthday. And where is she? And how can you even be sure? You believe everything that bitch tells you? Hey. Cool it, boys. I don't want you calling any girl a bitch in my presence, Chuck. What did I tell you about that, mister? The brunette says evenly, scowling prettily at Chuck. Look, doll, she continues, turning her attention to Dan. If you don't want to go out, that's cool. I totally thought he had warned you in advance. I should have known better, but no bother. Chuck, I need your car keys for a minute. Wait, for what? Chuck grimaces. Well, if he doesn't want to go out, we'll just have to bring the party to him. There's more of you? Dan exclaims, his eyes lighting up. Now that they're all standing around in the light in his bedroom, he can see the two babes much more clearly. They were hot. The brunette, the saucy one, is all overexposed with tight acid-wash jeans that look painted on. Her white lace halter top barely covers her full, heaving breasts. The blonde is slightly more demure, but her tight red sweater dress hugs her tiny, curvy frame and hints at the little perky pillows beneath. No bra between the two of them. Nice. Christine who? The sound of the brunette's raspy voice instantly brings Dan back down enough in his pants to avoid causing a scene. Barely. Not exactly, she purrs seductively. Maybe less of us would be more appropriate to say. We'll be right back, gentlemen. Have some guy time, the buxom brunette says slyly, grinning like a treasure cat. The mother hen brunette grabs the blonde's arm and they saunter out of the room together slowly. The blonde looks back before fully exiting the room. You're a hottie, she says coyly, again in a breathy, whispered tone as she scampers off. There is a moment of silence. Van looks at Chuck curiously. Yeah, he says after a beat. Fuck yeah, Chuck boasts. All right, what's the deal? I don't know how you're able to rally up some chicks like that. I'm impressed. You should have told me you were going to surprise me like this. You're just trying to make me look like a schmuck, huh? Dan chides. My bad. No, I'm not actually. Chuck winks. You know you can't stay mad anyways. I think you'll like Fable plenty. Matter of fact, I'm sure of it. All right, first things first, Dan says, while regaining his composure. Who's who? You never introduced me, Einstein. Well, the bossy brunette with the rockin' knockers is Blade. That's my new girlfriend, Chuck boasts proudly. Since when? Since I met her, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weekends ago? At her club? Her club? Dan squints. Oh, okay, you mean like the YMCA or some shit? Dan jokes. Smart ass. And the other one? Dan asks, mentally crossing Le Jug off of his big tit wish list. Wait. They're twins, man. Couldn't you tell? Chuck says, furrowing his brow. Bullshit, Dan exclaims incredulously. Why bullshit? You never heard of hair dye? A boob job? And 6-inch heels? Huh. Well, maybe I didn't look closely enough, Dan mutters. Does Fable work in the same, establishment? How old are they anyway? They can't be from Lincoln, Dan concludes aloud, referring to his high school graduating class from Lincoln Prep. Ha ha, Chuck snorts. They're grown and sexy. What's the matter to you? He pauses. 22. Knock, knock, Blade says cheerfully as she bursts through the door with her laptop under her arm and a lot less clothing. Blade has returned in a major way, decked out in black leather chaps. A teeny black thong that just sort of disappears into the crease of her tight, round ass. Silver tassels hang off of her enormous tits, attached precariously with decidedly strong duct tape? Who knows? Her hair is blown out, Texas style, and a lot more wild and messed up than before. And she smells of heaven. Fable peers into the room, blushing visibly and hiding her little spinner body behind the door frame. Don't be shy, sis, Blade hisses. Come in already. We need to put these boys to bed. Fable clears her throat and walks into view slowly. She's dressed head to toe in the same get-up as her sister, but in red. She's also added wings to her shoulders. Nice touch. The silver tassels on her small, perky breasts hang teasingly as they flitter about along her taut midriff. Her legs are sinewy and strong, with a well-defined but sleek curve to her calves. Fable's blue eyes flash innocently but provocatively at the same time as she looks up shyly at Dan's 6-foot frame. Have a seat, birthday Dan, Fable stammers, her breath quickening as she stares down fixedly at Dan's foot. Whatever you say, gorgeous, Dan grunts, trying in vain to arrange himself and lessen the intensity of his throbbing ego. Fable approaches his lap and turns facing away from him. The delicious heat from her pussy and ass causes Dan to clasp his fingers around the arms of his sofa chair, holding back the urge to press his lips anywhere she just might let him. Dan silently mouths, thank you, to his compadre, Chuck, the Chester, and makes a mental note to somehow return the favor. This is quite possibly the best gift ever. Well, aside from the Z4 from his grandparents. Sort of. Dan's eyes returned to focus once again on the sweetest peach he ever did see. Tuck dims the lights. Blade starts up a sexy dubstep playlist on her iPad. Sable whips back around to face Dan, leaning in and pressing her lips against his ear. She widens her stance, and then, in one sweeping motion, straddles his clothed cock expertly, at just the right and most infuriating angle. Her heat, his heat, electric. Now where did that shy little angel go? Dan grins wryly. Sable cradles Dan's neck in the crook of her arms. Her lips graze his ear. Her breath tickles the tiny hairs on his sideburns. Easy now, young man, Sable coos, flashing her mischievous eyes at Dan as he grows more and more aroused. She returns to his neck, rustling his hair gently with her fingertips. Shielding her face from the other couple, she hums softly along with the music as she tightens herself more securely around his waist. Without warning, Sable lifts herself up just above his lap, locking eyes with him as she stares down at her willing prey. Smiling wickedly, Sable forces Dan's eager face down towards her belly button. I didn't know you had a third leg, she moans. Shall I continue? Christine who? The end. That was Daniel and the Third Leg, available on livinggrind.com as well as everynighterotica.com. And I'll do a break song, and then I will do Dusty and the Nooner just after that. Check out. Oi, I just noticed by Mr. Frizzo. There you go.
I'm telling you this because I wanna use a fine little chick, you should know it. It's like all of a sudden I just noticed. I said, hey, little mama, hey, little mama, telling you this because I wanna use a fine little chick, you should know it. You know, like all of a sudden I just noticed. Would you like to earn money by posting photos on your favorite social networking sites? Now you can! LeafIt, the first social networking site to pay you for posting pictures. The best part? It's a free app. To get your free app, visit www.leafit.biz/social strategies.
Musical monsters.
CPR really falls, silly bow. Should've never fucked with that Ouija ball, silly boy. And I call upon for the three chambers of darkness. Danger, the stranger, remain we as talkers. He lays in the coffin and prays on the heartless. They should not play with Satan or Congress. Dancing on graves and praising his army. Smoking his blunts and drinking his water. It is not holy, lonely hoes vomit. In the house of horrors, do ghosts still party? Yes, to the morning, next to the toilet. And in the same night, have sex with them always. Witches with the sickness and the shit is so great. Prophet in the building, bitch, I'm game. Get off my nuts, so over glaucoma. I don't gotta blaze up, blow so diesel. Wow, I'm Nito. Blow up your submarine with one torpedo. What up, Nico? I was wondering if I could beat one drum for me, bro. I'ma do this shit till I'm 6 feet below. Sleeping on the pillow, I got a big ego. Fly as an ego, ego. Straight off the top of the cerebro. And we know the hero's nothing. I'm Private 43, not Miss Cleo. But I'm gon' kill him, I'm gon' kill him. Live from the cellar, goblins, gorillas. How is he iller when I've been doing this shit since 7? Yeah. Never break my mold or break my records. Don't mistake my flow with these weak ass rappers. You don't put in that work, you ain't getting that ticket. You bullshitting, just kicking. I'm addicted to the sickness and committed to get it. This is more than just rapping, bitches. I live it, I deliver the business. It is musical monster, entrepreneur, operable. I can show you're a little monster. Raw with the unstoppable chaperone. I got the zone, the best in town. Shout them bitches, shop around. I got the crown. You thought that was something, well, I'm hotter now. But when the man come around, the only time I'm turned down. But when he leaves, I'm turned so loud. I'm a motherfucking.
Artist Prophet 43 with the song Monster. Alrighty, so I will do number six. Dusty and the Nooner. And that was published on livinggrind.com on Saturday, May 12th, 2012. Slide through Dusty and the Nooner. Ding, ding, ding. Yes, sir, yes, sir. What's for lunch this time? Dustin muses wryly as he bids a brief farewell to his colleagues. Dusty's got 69 minutes to spare, and he wants to use them therapeutically. He peels off from his office building in giddy anticipation due to all the buzz surrounding the comfort station's latest super combo. As he descends upon his favorite booby bar, Dusty commands his trusted companion, Leo, the Italian stallion, to slow down as he approaches the slide-through menu. Slide through, you lovable loser, you. Welcome to the Comfort Station. A lovely, saucily exotic voice greets him perfunctorily at the cam prompter. You must now insert your proof of assets if you wish to proceed. The outsourced voice continues in a warm, enticing, familiar yet bitchy tone that never fails to incite a raging semi and seal the deal. Dusty dutifully divulges his worth number and smiles as he watches the cam menu before him light up in validation. Welcome back to the Comfort Station, Dustin. It's me, Francesca, your special needs assistant. How may I fuck you over today? Hello, my darling Chessie. I've been very, very bad lately, and you had good, sound fucking in more ways than one. Got any specials? Well, you're in luck. We've got a special, all right. The Comfort Station has just introduced the new Coco Taco with Booby Supreme, Chessie coos airily. Who's in it? Dustin's eyes and ears perk up simultaneously. Well, you're already quite familiar with Coco. Quite familiar. However, now she's available in an H cup for a limited time only. Coco also comes complete with a complimentary video game, a hearty meal, and even a free sex toy. Oh, and who's the toy? Dustin is at the ready. Sabrina. I'll take her. Or, wait, what does she look perfect? Now, just proceed to Window Girl 6, and Brisa will give you the key code to Treatment Room 120. Be sure to tie up your stallion Leo a bit better this time around, yeah? Chessie continues, when you get to the lobby, remember to slide your worth number through Coco's new H-cups twice to authorize your treatment. Awesome. You're incredible, Chessie, Dusty begins. Now, don't forget, Section 25167E41EQ of the Penis Code affirms that you, as a receiver, must never look any of your caretakers directly in the eyes. Is that clear? Clear as a cupcake, Dustin snorts cheerfully. Was that a funny? Chessie frowns. Dustin blushes. That's extra, Chessie barks prettily. An insertion slot ejects from the cam prompter, and a red flashing light begins to scan Dusty's pocket sporadically. Oh, man, Dustin apologizes as he reaches for his wallet beneath Leo's saddle. I'm sorry, Chessie. Here's another slide through, just for you. No refunds, she quips, smiles, and disconnects. The end. That is slide through, Dusty and the Nooner. By yours truly, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. And check out this next song, Motivated by T-Pain featuring Lebowski.
Stop talking. But about the way you talk to my client, homie, stop walking.
Wait a minute, will a nigga really get it if I go off? I gotta prove it to him. I think I'm Big Meat, Larry Hoover. I'm trying to eat, you trying to sleep. If you a dog, then I'm a beast and the beat goes. I know you hate it. Here go my motivation, bruh. I'm with my dog.
I'm going through a lot of shit and it's making me sick and depressed. It's this in the midst of my chest and the mix of my pit with the rest. People when they're running, let's talk shit cause the kids at his best. If they really wanna trip on me, they equipped with the clips and the vest. Let me get you motivated while I proceed to get cake. Soon you will see that they pay, gotta keep up full speed in this race. I know they hate it, you can see by the look on their face. Soon they'll be cooked on the plate, like they were cooked by the face. I gotta be getting my money when I get to rip the mic on the stage. Half of the suckers be hating cause I got the flow to pave the way. Give you the room to get in the door, and I promise that I will not fade away. I'm feeling me feeling the energy back in the game, just like some Gatorade. Gotta be murdering any opponent, get ready, sick of when I step in the booth. He thinks we playing, cause me and T-Pain be giving it to him, what's spitting the truth. Yes, I'm the man, I don't give a damn, but none of you saying I'm hopeless. Leave me alone when I'm on my zone, so I can stay focused.
I'm trying to eat, you trying to sleep. If you a dog, then I'm a beast, and the beat goes. I know you hate it. Here go my motivation, bruh. I'm with my dog. Fuck us, nah, nigga, fuck y'all, and the beat goes. If you know they hate it, let me get you motivated.
Motivated by T-Pain featuring Lebowski, and I will now do For Surety, and that will be Erotica number 7, and this was published on livinggrind.com on Monday, January 20th, 2014. You wanted me for surety, but you mostly just wanted me dead, but my cobwebs are full of your cabbage fields, and my cotton is running all red. While visions of visuals fall upon my shield, you want me, I'm living, stopped, but I am unwilling to yield. The end. That was For Surety, available on livinggrind.com. And I'll do, Dear Irene, Fuck You, Blow Me, A Love Story, in just a second. But in the meanwhile, check out one quick song. Oy. I will do You would think it would be ready, wouldn't you? Yes, almost. I know what I want to do. A4 Faces. I'll do that one. And then I will do Fuck You, Blow Me. So here we are. A4 Faces by Fordan Carmier.
Yeah.
was A4 Faces by Vordan Carmier. And I'll now do a live reading. This is reading number 8. Fuck You, Blow Me, A Love Story. It was dedicated, I guess dedicated to Hurricane Irene. Lovely nature. Yes. And it was published on livinggrind.com on Sunday, August 28th, 2011. And there's some commentary there. If you go to livinggrind.com and read the end and see, you'll see what inspired me. It's Earthquake, who's one of my favorite comedians. It's not Earthquake. It's what's his face? Darn it, where'd he go? Lavelle. Je m'excuse. I'm sorry. Well, they're both awesome, but it was actually because of Lavelle Crawford that inspired Fuck You, Blow Me. But anyways, here you go. So embarrassing. Okay, here you go. Hey, Irene Boo, let me holler at you. By the time you read this letter right here, I'm going to have your ass on lock. Who you think you is, Miss Thing? You're covered in been blown. I was watching the news last night after you just done took off from Eden's Den the other day. They showed you bearing your ass across 9 different states. What? Mm-hmm. I've seen you in big flashing letters on one of them damn channels. T.S. Irene lashes out all across New England. You got put on blast. Now, just how you just gonna get up and jump out of my establishment anytime you get good and ready to? And them toys is property of Eden, not you. You heard? Eden. That don't spell Irene. Your name ain't on none of them whips and chains you out there flinging around, swinging at people like you ain't got no home training. You done lost your mind. Your house beat is past due. You heard me? And what do? You hightail it out all the way out to the other coast, messing with my demographic. Oh, you fancy, huh? I'm keeping tabs, mama, and you'll be working your highfalutin tail off as soon as I Google Earth your current location. Say I won't. Mm-hmm. Shoot. Racking up all these bills, living a life of loosey-goosey. You still ain't no porcelain. We both know this. Apologize. You know you ain't right. I've seen you twirling around and raining out everybody parade. Just wait. You got yourself a lot of explaining to do. And quit crying all day long. We ain't got time for your tears. We want you to sit your ass down. Dry off. Go get you some Claritin and leave folks alone. When we done handling this situation, we putting you right back on Greyhound from whence you came, baby girl. Now go get you some rest and call me tomorrow after you figure out what the hell is wrong with you. Get ghosts. Yo, gangsta truly. One love. Sir Master P-I-M-P. Duke. Doggy dog. P.S. Check your Gmail for a plane to get back to the den. You ain't flying first class this time, though, shawty. Nah. P.P.S. Go on YouTube and tell them people you sorry. Payday light bill. Stop hating. The end. Yes. And what do you call it? Duke Doggy Dog. I chose that name because one of my gal pals, Cinnamon Love, out there over on the East Coast now, her doggy's name is Duke, and he is awesome. So he was the star writer of that there letter to the lovely Irene. So there you are. And I will be right back. I don't know where I am alphabetically. Wait, we're in F's, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to see what's coming, and so shall you. How about Black Metal Rose by Fierce Creatures? Here you go.
Memorialized a great escape to Venezia
a sweet but sordid escape, culminating with tentative, then turbulent, finger-filled dalliances to the tune of that silent symphony on the muddy waters of a midnight gondola ride. A tasty bon appetit, indeed, for El Señor, fanned beneath her popularly peasant skirt. And how Ashlyn would squirm, reliving how she would try her best to ignore the rocking and swaying of that small, floating apparatus so many millions of light years away from the crunchy granola of her more usual endives. Like Hendry's Beach off the Pacific coast, or a stolen moment of picnicking a la va-va-voom on checkered gingham blankets. Or were they Freddy's Burgers napkins? Ashlyn will have developed a learned disdain for those comparatively milder throes of passion, long gone and tossed out to sea amid the persistent flow of tides along the edges of humanity. Celeste is more than willing to subsume this all the while, emptying recollections of fuzzy, fading remnants of her own times past, like losing her bon genre jeans to the Pacific coast in a newly naked embrace, her soaked front pockets bearing down, impeding resistance, reuniting with Donnie's t-shirt, there having become saddled with quarters, readied for a midnight sack of colorless brawn panty laundry, and Donnie's short sleeves. All this in salute to the elements, yet little more than a mere pittance to Mother Nature herself. But no. Celeste will quickly return to the seedy seat of novelty, smack dab in front row, where things were a lot less pedestrian. You see, Ashlyn was a lady in Europe. That being so, it was only polite then to allow her beau, Tomas, to have a gander at her prized and pretty pink possession, and unthinkable to lie concealed and delicately beneath some nondescript fabric of commodity. Ah, yes, Celeste will be most eager to relish all of these naughty delics abroad in real time, after all that she was devoured at length before her computer screen. Things were going to get real. Celeste will reach out, compelled by her quest to fully expose those secret treasures of abandon, in concert, she hopes, with her longtime beau. She has lived for the date of this reunion, it seems, in a lustful remixing of the familiar, the whitening of Ashlyn's complicit, dazzling hazel green eyes, her full breasts resting forward out of habit as she embarks anew, weaving her delicious narrative to life. David will not know what hit him. Certainly, yes, Celeste has been yearning for this sort of gathering for much more than a fortnight, and now she wants to collect. Her attention will divert at moments upon the thought of Ashlyn's cheeks, which usually tend towards rosy when she's just about to spill the raciest of spoils. The impish dive of Ashlyn's heart-shaped head as she lowers her gaze mid-sentence. The corner of her girlfriend's lips when they curl conspiratorially. Their interchange will commingle, as they often do, laced with sheepish smirks of self-censorship and bouts of sheer, bemused embarrassment. False modesty will peel away as Ashlyn's hushed giggles tell all. Together, they will find it increasingly troublesome to fight back the tears of merriment. Time and again, they may attempt to stifle and compress Ashlyn's naughty narrative at irregular intervals, shielding themselves from spectators' wandering eyes and wondering ears. And, of course, the waiter will come near, making his proverbial rounds, mostly mid-bite, just like clockwork, just to see if everything's all right. And it will be, and so very much more than all right. Celeste will encroach progressively as the night waxes on, building upon each succulent recantation of her muse. Celeste will catalog all manner of happenstance this evening, hoping to unleash her very own brand of sex magic, just this once, but precisely where and when she should. She will attempt to widen the circle, just for one, or, well, her party of one, the sweet, unassuming, ever so devoted David. Now, ordinarily, Celeste would have had no difficulty casting forth a reasonable reproduction of her notorious pal's far-flung charisma, but her rehearsals were largely confined to solitary pursuit, mostly. Yet here, Celeste will assume certain studied positions on this Once Upon a Night. It is a given that she will start out well enough. She will advance with all the more purpose between the unforeseen hours of this endless night. Celeste's impending desire will mount bit by bit, eager to rejoice, relive, and suddenly give rise to a fait accompli. She races full speed ahead without regard for what could have otherwise resulted from certain derisive acts of jamais vu. Celeste will have hastened the destiny which stirs so immutably within, in spite of herself. By definition, Celeste has had plenty of, well, practice gleaned from that steady stream of salacious digest, awash with the magnetic agony, ecstasy, and octane-laden discourse, which spawns overeasy from Randy Wildchild, Ashlyn. Celeste has been au courant for such a very long time. More often than not, perhaps, this feverish intoxication could have topped off, occasioning itself to die a warm, slow, heady little death. Until this one night, her fantasies would have remained burrowed within the exclusive domain of private life, slipping through solely during hidden, unspecified stretches of time, shrouded within and beneath her stark white bedroom linen, finding their welcome respite peacefully atop Celeste's personal pleasure chamber. Normally, she would have flicked about, pressing persistently with her tiny, finely tuned digits until she stopped. However, this time around, not so much. On this other day or night, something else will have come to pass instead, and rather remarkably so. And all because, and perhaps only because, at the culmination of this very grand soirée and pleasure-filled reconnaissance, things really won't seem all that different. Not at first. And yet, after all this, somehow, it all must cease to be. Because Celeste will wake up dead. The end. That was Idyllic Oratio Oblica and Direct Speech by yours truly, Sandra London of livinggrind.com. And that is that. So please join me the next Sunday and every Sunday, generally at 8 p.m. Pacific time, sometimes at 9 p.m. or 8:30 p.m. Pacific time, but generally sometime around 8 p.m. Pacific time. So stay tuned, and I wish you a very pleasant evening and peaceful, sweet, lovely, awesome dreams. Good night.
Hello, all you sexy Naked Girls Radio listeners. Have yourself a naked day and make it a naughty night with me, Sandra London, on Playtime with Sandra every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Would you like to earn money by posting photos on your favorite social networking sites? Now you can! LeafIt, the first social networking site to pay you for posting pictures. The best part, it's a free app. To get your free app, visit www.leafit.biz/social strategies.
Lele, por que tu foi embora? Lele, por que tu foi embora? Por que me deixaste aqui, Lele? Ah, eu penso em tu toda hora. Lele, por que tu foi embora? Lele, por que tu foi embora? Por que me deixaste aqui? Ai,